Another week of chaos and happenings in the world that hard for us to wrap our minds around some of these people that do these things. Another sign of end times. This war that's going on in the Ukraine, it's just like it's becoming an everyday thing now. It's not such a news cycle, but it's still going on. And I think back in history, you look at World War II, we tried to stay out of it until we got involved, and what happened at Pearl Harbor brought us into the war at that time. You can expect anything, folks, in these days. And we talked about that last week. Well, we're going to look at this. We was looking at the world, and we can all look at that and follow the news cycles and read the internet and read blogs, and it can get really depressing. It can be concerning, much less what's going on with each one of us personally. Then it comes home to each one of us as we're all of that age, that age is affecting us. Health, family. And we start asking, we can easily start asking, why is all this going on? Why is this going on in my life? Of course, in Debbie and I's life, of course, we're dealing with her cancer, and we feel positive about that right now, but it's still there. You deal with it daily, and without the Lord, you can't deal with these things. You have to stay prayed up and read up, or the weight of it all, you cannot carry the weight of this world, much less personal things to carry around. You have to let the Lord take it daily. As Paul said, I die daily. Dying to self. Dying to try to carry things. Trying to fix things. Do things that may change things. Some of these things are out of our hands. We can't control them. Now, of course, there's personal sins that we can fix. But the effect of this world and the sin curse that is on this world really is the bottom line that all of us are having to deal with. The world was infected with sin from Adam and Eve. And then we live in that daily. The world is in that daily. So we can talk about this theory and that theory, and everybody's got, well, what are they doing? This and that, and looking, why is the police letting these people get loose and shoot people, and on and on and on it goes. Sin in this world and what mankind thinks he can do with it and deal with it, it's above what mankind can do, but God is in the ultimate control, and we're going to look at that here in a minute. We're going to look at it. We looked at the world last week as a view of the earth and what condition it's in. This week I wanted to try to finish this lesson up, a view from heaven. You know, we can wool in these things. We can let it worry us. Of course, we know God says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about these things. Don't worry about anything. Let me have it. But a view from heaven, God explains what's going on in heaven today. Now, in the last month or so, we've been talking about some things that are going to happen, that are happening leading up to the rapture of the church. and all these things put together, and you stand back and look at the big picture, you can see the process that's going on. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started in what's going on in heaven today. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Lord, if it wasn't for your love and grace toward us, we just couldn't make it without you. Thank you for your salvation that you each give each one of us freely. All we have to do is accept, believe that you died on that cross for our souls, that you're alive and sitting at the right hand of God today. You're ready to pick up that scroll and open it up and being the right kinsman, you're going to be our redeemer from this world that we're in. Lord, we thank you for all those promises. Lord, give us insight to what you're going to do today. Help us, Lord. Give us peace that only you can give. The peace that passes understanding. The world raging around us, they do not understand the peace of God unless they have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And the only way they can get that is to accept what you did on the cross. God, we just pray for our families. Pray for this world. People that are not saved. Lord, I pray that salvation will come before it's eternally too late. Lord, give us a good day in church. Bless our pastor. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking in Psalms 2, how this Psalms tied into what's going to happen in the future and the revelation of what God's going to do. As reading the Old Testament, across the Old Testament, especially the prophets, but here we are in Psalms reading, in Kings, some of the things that were prophesied there. You remember the Bible talks about looking through a glass darkly. It's like trying to see outside through these stained glass. You see the light, but you really can't see any details. And a lot of that's going on in the Old Testament. These prophets saw the high points that were going to happen. Christ coming and his death and him returning at Mount Olives and the resurrection of the church, but really none of the prophets got any view of the current dispensation that we're living in, the church age. They saw the beginning of it, and they had some vision up to about 70 AD, but after that, they couldn't see the valley of this dispensation that we live in, the church age that you and I live in, the age of grace. God's grace is still rich and as strong as it ever was. He wants people to come to Christ. He wants people to get saved. God does. And during his time, we send missionaries around the world, and all of us have been part of that in giving or going or whatever. And that's during this age. And a lot of that went on during this age is not talked about. Those prophets, the Old Testament, the New Testament, they couldn't see it. But then we see Christ that we talked about in his Olivet Discourse talking about some of those things and how things today are being prepared for what's getting ready to happen in the future. And here we have the same thing in this Psalms that we've been looking at. In Psalms 2, verse 4, he says, "He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, D-E-R-I-S-O-N, meaning they're just all confused, all stirred up. Think they're doing this right and it don't work. Think they're going to try this and it don't work. They shall speak unto them Then shall he speak unto them with his wrath and vex them in his soul displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon the holy mount of Zion. This psalmist was getting insight from the Holy Spirit into what was going to happen in the world. And he wasn't seeing it really clear, but he was getting bits and pieces what the Holy Spirit wanted to give him and give us from this verse here, these verses in Psalms 2. We know that God's will is sovereign. This laugh that he's talking about, it means that he pities us. He pities the rebellion that mankind is living in. He setteth in the heaven and shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God, who sits in his heavenly throne, is absolutely sovereign. There's nothing happens that he doesn't allow to happen or know that's going to happen. But we in our flesh, why would he allow this person or that person to kill all these people? Why would he allow this terrible war to go on? Wars and rumors of wars that's going on there in that part of the world. And it can get down personally. Why did he allow my wife to have cancer? Why does he allow your wife to be in heaven? And your wife to be in heaven? We can start saying why? But does God really want us to ask why? I think he knows our frame. He knows our frailty to where we just get weighted down with all these questions. But then again, the Bible tells us to daily lean on him for understanding and for peace. There is a throne in heaven which cannot be affected by all this man's effort during these man's days, during this church age that we live in. The King of Glory sits on that throne. And he looks down at all this. And God has that scroll in his hand. And we know from these verses that we studied weeks ago that Christ is ready to take that scroll and going to solve a lot of these problems. God doesn't laugh because it's hilarious. It's pitiful. We can wag our heads at some of this stuff. The unbelievable wickedness, the unbelievable anarchy that some of these situations are causing, the ludicrous situations that are in this chaotic world and led by these ignorant men, you start wondering, well, why did they let that happen? God is sovereign, people. We have to keep going back to that. He is sovereign. He sees it all. He knows it all. Set from the foundations of the world, these things are. He laughs at this finite man that we are. Looking down on life from this infinite position that he's in. Time does not matter to him. There is no such thing. Time was created for us to live in, to burn in, to live, to be born, and to die in. Time is for us, not for him. He's eternal past, eternal future. He cannot be affected by any of this. And we have to really hold on to that and think, what a powerful God that I have. He is sovereign in his blessed promises that he gives us in his word. For the believer. Now that is kind of a big statement. For the believer. The promises in God's word is for the believer. How many of us know somebody or family members or somebody that is not a believer? How do these people live under the chaos in this world today without being connected to God? It's hard for me to understand that. I guess I could say, well, I've been saved since I was 13. I never lived close. There's many, many years that I didn't live close to the cross. I was there and back and there and back. We've all been there. But as we get older and we start reading and understanding and studying God's word, we get glimpses of his greatness and his glory and his mighty control over this universe. In some way, to be understood now in part, but more fully later, we get to understand. Now, we may not get it till we're sitting in heaven with him. We may not get it then until the 1,000-year reign. We may not get it till after the 1,000-year reign. There's a lot of things that's got to happen, and we're going to be in that journey because we're believers. We may not even want to understand. I've heard people say, well, it won't make no matter then. It won't make no matter. I won't be concerned about this world. Maybe not. Debbie and I have thought here lately, how nice will it be when you don't have to deal with sin no more? Not the world's sin, but my sin. I mean, you can't go through a day till this sinful condition that we have somehow affects our mind or our heart. And we said, no, I'm not going to look at that. No, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to do that. We deal with that over and over and over every day of our lives. And there is no way that we can deal with that on our own. We have to let God help us with those things. But think about the day that's coming to us all that we don't have to deal with that no more. Sin will be put away. What a glory day that'll be. What a glory day that'll be. And we never have to think about that again. But here we are in this dispensation talking about this. And we can't say, I've heard people say, well, good luck. Well, things just happen. No, I mean, we have to stand up when you hear somebody say that and say, No, God's in control. He knew that was going to happen from the foundation of the world. People don't want to hear that. What's true in their minds and heart? The truth that people believe, the truth for this person or that person, all these truths are different at different levels. The only true thing is the Word of God. That's all we can base any of this on, in the sovereign control of God. Things just don't happen. Everything happens. I can look, most of us here probably can now, can look back at life and think about something that's happened and you didn't know why it was happening then, but now you see. See how that works? We were looking through a glass darkly then. We didn't know why that was going on and why it was happening and what was going to happen. But now we can look back on it and see how God brought us through it and how he blessed through it and how our lives are better for it, because most of the time we learn a lesson. One of the simplest illustrations that I ever had, I guess, was back when our young'uns were small. We were in church, a little church, teaching Sunday school, doing all the things that you do, and a lot of you all grew up with your kids in church doing all that you do in Sunday school and youth stuff and all that kind of thing. I wanted a bass boat so bad. I wanted to go pro fishing so bad. Why was I thinking that? I just liked fish, and I could catch fish. But God didn't give me that boat. It was too expensive. It was way out there at that time for me. And I look back at that now and I say, God, I see why you didn't give me that boat. I raised a family and they're all in church and they're all saved. And you look back and think, if I had got that, it would have took me away from my family, away from my church, and down another path. And I can look back at that now, a simple illustration just like that, how God didn't allow me to do that. Was there anything really bad about getting the boat? No. But what it would have done to the church and family and my relationship with my kids and my relationship with God and church and all that would have just went another direction. And then 30 years later, I get down here and get one, and now it's sitting down there under the shed and I get to use it every once in a while. That's God, folks. I still enjoy the fish and still enjoy taking my boat out. But I don't go on Sunday. And I take my family if I get a chance. So, you know, God was in little things like that in our lives. He's sovereign. He's control. He meets human needs. The ultimate truth of it is he meets our needs. I mean, it can get tight. I've dealt around in the coal business forever, engineering and this and that and the other. It's either up here or down here. There's hardly any in between. And when you're down here, he still meets your needs. And when you're up here, he still meets my needs. It's a journey that we can all look back at and say, praise the Lord for what he's done for me. That comes back to thinking, when all this pressure of the world comes down on us, we need to think about how good God is and all the good things that he's done for us and how he's brought us through things and how he wants to bring us through things. You know, God... kingdom is coming, and we see there in Matthew 6:10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. That model prayer, if we really read that and really pray that, do we really mean what we're saying? Well, we can say those words really quick and easy, but start taking them to heart. And thy kingdom come. Lord, come on now. Come down. We're ready. I want to be there. Thy will be done in earth. Now, are we going to resist God's will to be done in our lives, in earth? We have to really get a hold of this word sovereign God in everything. Not just in world offense, but personally. His will is being done in your life, just as his will was done that time with that old boat. He didn't allow me to get it. He protected me from that. What's going on in your life right now that you can say his will be done? Is it loneliness? Is it sickness? Is it financial? Is it families, problems, kids, grandchildren? God, we want your will to be done in this process. Lord, show me how I can get through this. Show me what I can do. Show me how I need to stand up for you. We can add a lot of things to that will be done here on this earth. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, it will be fulfilled. And we've talked about in the weeks to past. Christ is going to step in the clouds. And he is going to open that scroll. And he is going to sit on the throne of David. And there will be a 1,000-year reign. You can mark it down. It's already written. It's written. And it will be done. Can we live in that? Do we want the rapture to happen today? Be all right with me. God's word is sure. In wrath. Let's think about his wrath to come. He speaks with authority. Since his ascension, there's not been any messages from heaven. Since the book of Revelation was written, heaven has kind of been silent. Now, folks, when you get around somebody saying that, I know when he's coming back, and I think he's saying this, you better just kind of walk away from that person. They start saying God's given them a revelation, not in this dispensation, not in today's world. Now, there'll be some stuff happened during that seven-year tribulation period. We talked about that. We'll not be here to experience that. We'll be in heaven having dinner. He speaks with authority. He will not be silent forever. When he speaks, when he opens up that scroll, now folks, we've talked about what's going to happen. When he takes that scroll and he's getting ready to claim his right to this world, there's a lot of things going to start happening. Especially when he opens that seventh seal, which we stopped there and didn't talk about all the destruction that's going to come underneath that seventh seal. Often we hear the question, well, if there is a God, why doesn't he stop all this suffering? Those folks that are not saved, that question, if there is a God, if somebody opens up a conversation like that, you've got to know that they need to be saved. If there is a God, why don't he intervene in all this mess that we're in? Folks, all this mess, this is not the time for God to right all the wrongs, to remove all injustice, to correct all evils. It's not in his time plan. In this age, he is allowing man to prove his utter depravity. Look back at the Old Testament. Look at the nation of Israel. He allowed them. Did they want a king? And he allowed them to get a king. And then it went from that king to the next king, and that king to the next king. One was good, and then one would try to be good and get bad. And then they were just bad kings and bad kings. He let the nation of Israel go through that garbage for 1,000 years. He allowed the nation of Israel to run their country into the ground and suffer under the oppression of other nations coming in and taking everything they had, down to the gold plates and the goblets that were in the temple. Destroyed it all. Took every rock off of the temple foundation and, like I told you, took the gold or the silver that was holding it together. At 70 AD, completely obliterated Jerusalem. Now, did people back then say, there's always been a remnant? If there is a God, why doesn't he stop this? I don't even like to say that, if there is a God. We could say it this way: why don't God stop this? Why don't he get in the middle and stop this craziness? The present day chaos that we're seeing, violence and suffering and failures, are no cause for fear for the child of God. We should not be fearful. It's all in God's plan. He's sovereign, remember? He understands exactly every step of the way what he's getting ready to do. As God's children, everything is going toward a divine plan. See, we've gotten glimpses of his divine plan. Again, if you study Revelations like we did here for the last month or so, and you keep all that stuff in your mind, in the back of your mind, and you start reading through the Bible from day one to the end of Revelations, you can see God sprinkling his knowledge through the Holy Spirit to these prophets and these preachers all the way from the beginning to the end. It's all about Christ and what he's going to do when he steps back into the air and he solves this problem with the devil. It's all about that. It's coming. It's in the book. What's going to happen? He speaks of injustice. Today we speak in his love, then we shall speak in his wrath. I mean, his wrath is coming. His judgment's coming, folks, on this world. The first thing that's going to happen, God's going to speak and call his bride home. Praise the Lord. We'll all be out of here. The church, the true church, you and me, people sitting in this room, not this building, will be in heaven. And then, secondly, God speaks in heaven in his wrath. He divine plan. He has the right, as I told you, the Kingsman Redeemer is going to take care of business. We know that's the truth. The book of Revelations tells us all about that future judgment. It tells us all about the final revolt against God. And it tells us about the new heaven and the new earth at the end of all the things that's going on in this world. God's way is settled, and there is nothing anybody, any government, any person, the devil cannot change it. His plan is settled. Number one, the salvation of mankind has been settled on the cross. And there wasn't nothing he could do about it, the devil. Not a thing. Oh, he tried. He thought he had him. Praise the Lord, he rose again the third day, and he's sitting at the right hand of God and left the way of salvation through the beginning of the New Testament church. Praise the Lord for his salvation. It's settled, folks. It's settled. And man's opposition to God's program, it will not be accomplished. God's program is going to be accomplished, folks. We can count on it. We're on the winning side. Praise the Lord. All this world can rage, and we can just go on and on and on looking at it and thinking about it. And all we have to do is know that we're on the winning side. And back to Psalms 2, and it says, I will declare a decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, and the day begotten thee asked of me, and I shall give thee the inheritance for thine inheritance. I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth, thy possessions. And thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings, talking about the kings of the earth. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Boy, that says a lot right there. The voice of God the Son declare his kingdom. Number one, the revelation. I declare. In those verses, he says, I will declare the decree. His kingship. His kingsman, redeemer. He's going to stand up that day that we talked about, open that scroll, and said, this earth is mine, the devil. Get behind me. He's going to take care of that. Praise the Lord. We won't have to deal with that. Remember a while ago saying, how nice is it going to be not to have to deal with sin no more? Living in it, living inside of you. Your soul's going to be free from that. We're going to sit there in heaven and celebrate the freedom from sin that so easily besets us. The fiery darts are never going to fly again. Because God, the Son of God, is going to put the devil in his place. His sonship. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. Isn't it amazing? This is back in Psalms chapter 2. How this applies to the book of Daniel and how it applies to Revelations. How it applies to the Olivet Discourse. See, the ribbon is woven. Christ, all the way from the beginning, I will bruise his heel, he says in the beginning. The ribbon of blood, follow it through the Bible. And you start reading stuff like this in Psalms. I never realized this until I had been looking at Revelations and then found this. And man, I said, look what God opened this psalmist's mind to a little bit of what's going to happen in the future here. To give him encouragement to know that God is sovereign and God is going to take care of things at the end. But mankind will not bow down. He will triumph. I shall give thee, he says, thine inheritance. There in verse 8. The Son hath the promise of the Father that he will make him king over a people. The prophet Daniel saw this. It's all linked and tied together. And all the stories of the nation of Israel, all the stories of the Roman Empire, and all those things all weave together, pointing toward Christ and how he's going to come back and take care of business. Folks, all this stuff that's going on in the world today, it's God's plan. And we need not wonder why. We need not ask why. Are we not, if God was, why does he let all this happen? Don't get trapped into asking those questions or trying to answer somebody's question and saying, well, why is your God allowing this to happen? Folks, you've got enough ammunition right here in the Word to take that person and say, well, there is a God, and he's a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment on the world's sin. And he will judge your sin if you don't trust what his son did on the cross. It's so easy to give a witness with those kind of questions and people. I'm on the phone all the time with engineers or somebody somewhere, government people. Oh, I can turn a conversation. Well, some of those regulators, I don't want to make them mad yet. When I get my permit, I may go back and preach to them. But people can get upset when you start pressing them about Christ. Don't you know it? They don't want to hear the truth. They like their truth. They're like their truth. They want to protect the environment and hug the trees and all that stuff. And it's going to last forever and ever. I'm sorry, it's not. But this, all this makes it so easy to have a conversation with somebody in the world today. So, because many, many people are saying, "Why is all this going on? What's going on?" On and on and on. And you can just turn it right over, turn a leaf on the Bible, and say, "Well, here's what's going to happen, and here's what's going to happen to you if you don't change your heart." We need to use these things to show people their need of Christ. So there's going to be a revelation. He's going to be the sonship is taking control. He's going to have triumph over this world. And then there's going to be judgment. Then people want to say, "Well, why does a good God want to judge people? Why does a good God send people to hell?" Well, we all know the answer to that. God is so holy, so far above it all, he cannot tolerate any sin. Period. Little, big, ever how you want to categorize it. We all know God looks at sin as sin. Period. But us as men, we want, "Well, that's a little white lie. Oh, that's okay. He can do that." I mean, today, buddy, people are just getting by with anything they think they can get by with. And nobody's holding their hand against it. Because the time is here. The world is spinning toward him coming back in the clouds. We're right on the edge. This verse, every verse I read anymore, I just see God lights it up and highlights it. "I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming." God's coming, folks. This is a terrible day that we live in. They are wonderful days because we know every day that goes by is closer to the day he's coming back. It's a wonderful day that we can see all this wickedness and stuff that's going on and say, "God's in control. He's sovereign. He knows all this. Even so, come, sweet Jesus." So folks, let's don't let all this strife in the world upset us. Because we've talked about prophecy for the last month and a half. And we know what God's going to do. He's going to come back and take care of business. Live in his love every day. Read his word every day. Trust in what he says every day. Give it to God. Give the worry to God. And say, "God, carry all this for me. I need to have peace today." And he'll give you that peace today. Trust God. Everything in heaven's okay. And it's going to be okay here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. And thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for all those promises. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to die on that cross for our sins. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for my salvation. Lord, you're good to us. Thank you for your word and giving us some understanding of it. Lord, we love you. Give us a good day in church. Pray for our pastor. Touch him. Help him say the words that someone needs to be heard today that may be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.